A reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whichever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Amen.
Let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, as we come now to hear your word preached, we ask that you would pour out your spirit and bless this sermon. O God, open our eyes to see the way that Jesus identifies with the poor, the marginalised and the vulnerable in our world. Give us, just as your son Jesus was moved to reach out to those who are most in need. Father, use this time in your word to show that the gifts we have prepared to send are a real expression of your love. And may all those who receive them encounter your grace and provision through all that we have given. Most of all, Lord, we pray that your word today would shape our lives and stir us again to continually seek opportunities to make your love known. All this we pray in the very precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour and our King. Amen. So when I was younger, well before I was a Christian, I used to sing in a band. I wrote my own songs. I played a wee bit of guitar. And I really did believe that I was a better frontman than Mick Jagger or Freddie Mercury. I sure did. Needless to say that was all in my head. And my self-proclaimed title of being the next John Lennon or Liam Gallagher was utter nonsense. And I was to learn that the hard way. I also did think at one time I was going to grow up to be a comedian. I used to love telling jokes. I'm laughing because Ian's at the back there. I'll never forget the first conference Ian and I were together. And he laughed at all my jokes, right? And I hope I'm not embarrassing him, but Ian, as well as an OLM, Ian's a brain surgeon at Nine Wells Hospital. And my mum always used to say to me, "People only find your jokes funny because they're as daft as you." So I could not wait to get home and say, "Mum, a brain surgeon thinks my jokes are funny." Honestly, I always remember that about Ian. So I thought I was going to be a comedian as well as a singer in a band, but I ended up neither. But you know, when you have aspirations like I did to make it in the music industry and you're part of a guitar band, the ultimate aim is to get a record deal. That's the ultimate aim, is to get a record deal. And in this deal, there's a contract between the band and the record company. And the contract's an agreement. It's how much money goes to the band, goes to the record company, and how much is distributed that way. The writer of the songs usually receives much more money than everyone else. If you're a songwriter and you can write songs for these people who are massive in the music industry, Beyonce and all these folks, they don't actually write their own music, but if you can write their music, you're usually worth an absolute fortune. This is known as royalties. And I often wonder, if we can think of our relationship with God in this same way. When we make a decision to follow Jesus, I wonder if we can think that it's some kind of contract that we are entering into with God. And part of that contract, I think often, is how much of our money that we want God to have control over. So we call that tithing and offerings, and that is biblical. It is biblical. And the truth is that giving is a very important part of who we are as Christians. But you know, it's the reason behind our giving is just as important, probably more important than the actual giving itself. Today's a very special day here at our church. It's Shoebox Sunday. This is a day when we get to hand all of our shoeboxes. They're all finished and ready to go, and they'll be sent across to Ukraine through the amazing work of Blythewood Care Ministry. These shoeboxes are going to bring so much joy and hope to children and families who don't have very much at all. But why we do this? Why do we do it? Is it because it's a nice thing to do? Well, it is a nice thing to do, but it's so much more than that. It's what Jesus himself teaches in the Bible about how we should treat others and care for others, especially those who are in need. This morning's scripture reading that Leslie read for us is from chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus is speaking about the day that he will return and judge everyone. It says, then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Can you imagine Jesus saying those words to us? We would maybe be surprised because we might not remember doing any of those things to Jesus directly. And we hear the answer in the story that Jesus tells here, and they were surprised also. It says in verses 37 to 39, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the answer that Jesus gives in today's lesson is the most amazing answer. He says in verse 40, then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Can you believe that? When Jesus is saying that when we help people who are in need, people who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are strangers, who are sick or in prison, it's like we're actually helping Jesus himself. That's a tremendous thought. God cares so deeply about how we treat the most vulnerable and marginalized in the world. He identifies them in such a deep way. When we reach out to them in love and compassion, we are showing the same love and compassion to Jesus. What an incredible thought that is. The Apostle Paul also had some very important things to say about giving in his second letter to the church in Corinth. He writes in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Paul says this, remember that the person who plants few seeds will have a small crop. The one who plants many seeds will have a large crop. You should each give then as you decide, not with regret or a sense of duty, for God loves the one who gives gladly, or God loves a cheerful giver. This passage teaches us a few really important things about giving. Firstly, Paul tells us when we give generously, we will also receive generously in return. It's a spiritual principle that when we share what we have with others, God blesses us and provides for us as well. Paul also makes it clear that our giving shouldn't be out of obligation or reluctance. God doesn't want us to give because we feel like we have to, or someone's pressuring us. Instead, he wants us to give joyfully from a willing heart. The Message translation puts it this way, God loves it when the giver delights in giving, when the giver delights in giving. So when we give with a cheerful, generous spirit, we are pleasing God and showing the same kind of self-giving love that Jesus has showed to us. So as we prepare to send our shoeboxes off today, it's good to keep these powerful biblical principles in mind. When we reach out to care for those in need, whether it's through these shoeboxes or in any other way, we're actually serving Jesus himself. And when we give from the heart, not out of obligation, but when we genuinely give from the heart, God delights in our generosity and he then blesses us in return. I know that we all packed our shoeboxes today with grateful hearts, And today it is amazing to think about the children who receive them. And we saw some of them on the video. Imagine the look of pure joy on their wee faces as they open this box and discover the love and the care that has been put into making it for them. And you know, today we're thinking about shoeboxes, but the lessons are much bigger than that. It's about how we can apply these lessons of generous, cheerful giving to every single area of our lives. How can we continue to be aware of the needs of those around us and respond with compassion? How can we keep giving our time, our talents, our financial resources with a glad and grateful heart? You see, God doesn't just want our stuff. He wants our hearts. He wants us to give from a place of love. And when we do that, it blesses us as much as it blesses the person. We know that, don't we? When we give a gift to someone, how much we feel blessed to be able to do that for someone else. In fact, I'd argue that giving generously is one of the best ways that we can grow closer to God and experience His love and provision in our lives. When we share what we have, we are reflecting that generous, self-giving nature of our Heavenly Father. I always say a human's best form is when we're serving. We know that. When we're out of ourselves and we're serving others, it's our absolute best form. And we must remember why we give at all. It's not because we're trying to earn God's favour or generosity. Definitely not. It's because of what Jesus has already done for us. You see, we were the ones who were spiritually hungry, spiritually thirsty, spiritually naked, and imprisoned by our sin. We had nothing, absolutely nothing to offer God, and we could not save ourselves. But Jesus, in His great love, came down. He took our poverty, He took our sin, and He took our death on the cross so that we might receive His riches, His righteousness, and His eternal life. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we receive this incredible gift of salvation. Not because we've earned it, definitely not, but simply by grace through faith in Christ. And it's because we have received such an overwhelming love and generosity from God that our hearts are then transformed and we can give to others. Because we've already received freely in Christ, we can then give that to others. So let me thank you all so much for filling these shoeboxes today with such love and for the people who will receive them. Today we pray for the children who will receive them. And we ask that God use these gifts to meet their needs, but also to show His love to them. As we prepare to send off these shoeboxes filled with such love and such care, we are reminded of the deep truth at the heart of our faith, that when we reach out to those in need, we are actually ministering to Jesus Himself. What an incredible honour and responsibility that is. You see, our God intimately identifies with the poor. We know that. The marginalised and the forgotten, that's who He spent His time with. And when we open our eyes to see them and we extend our hand of compassion to them, we are quite literally serving the King of Kings Himself. That should fill us with such awe and such reverence. But it should also make us pause and think, how can we create a greater awareness of the needs of those around us? How can we respond with that same self-giving love that Jesus has modelled for us on the cross? Because when we do that, we don't just make a difference in someone else's life. We also experience transformation in our hearts as well. And as we give joyfully, freely, as we pour out our resources to bless others, we find that our own spiritual accounts are being filled to overflowing. And we know that as well, don't we? We know that when we give to others, it's filling up our spiritual account. For the more we copy the way of Jesus, and we can get ourselves out the way enough for God to then work in us and through us, we come to know the heart of our Heavenly Father. And you know, there in that really deeply spiritual space, we discover the fullness of joy and a deep confidence that we are loved. We are deeply, deeply loved. So today on this Shoebox Sunday, Let it be another reminder for us to always seek opportunities to share the love of Christ. For in doing so, we make such a huge, massive difference, and we become part of God's grand redemptive plan and his work in this world. What a privilege and what a calling that is. And may we always remember to embrace it at Craig Hill Church, as we have done this morning with our shoeboxes, to always embrace it with grateful and joyful hearts. Amen. Well, let us again join our hearts together.